Welcome back to the Morning Zone. Live, actually, from her office in Washington, D.C. this morning, our lone representative in Congress, Cynthia Lummis. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Sounds like you're having a cold day. I was listening to Don Day before we got together. Ooh, cold fun.
Indeed. Well, you know, it's never winter in the world until it's winter in Wyoming. Well, Cynthia, you certainly have a lot on your plate in Washington. I know that the concealed gun bill, the National Right to Carry Reciprocity Act, coming up for a vote today?
Yes. It will provide for reciprocity across state lines for concealed carries. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, Wyoming repealed its concealed carry law in the legislative session last year, so you don't need a permit to carry a concealed weapon. But the reciprocity will provide that if the state you're visiting has a concealed carry law, that you will have to have the permits that they require. But you can use it. You can utilize it.
And they're saying that if you want to do that, of course, with our surrounding states where we have the reciprocity, that to still go ahead and get a permit in Wyoming. But this would extend it beyond just the states around us, but to really all 49 states.
That's correct. So it is advisable if a person is inclined to carry over state lines that they do get a concealed carry permit, even though Wyoming itself no longer requires one.
All right, so I take it you're going to be voting in favor of that one today.
Yes, I am. That's correct. I'm a member of the Second Amendment Task Force.
Yes.
This is a bill that was discussed at great length and vetted in our Second Amendment Task Force meetings. And I am going to vote for it.
Got your press release yesterday afternoon where you're calling for Eric Holder's resignation relative to this Operation Fast and Furious, or Operation Gunrunner, some are calling it. And we've been following this whole issue with great interest because, interestingly, we didn't get all the national press that 60 Minutes got, but we were way out ahead of them, and that our man down on the border that's on with us every month, John Marshall, was about 2 months ahead of everybody reporting this, and some of my listeners thought he was goofy when he said it on the air. But it's turned out to be true. There are two investigations, one in each House of Congress now. And clearly, as your press release indicates, Cynthia, Eric Holder has really been resistant to cooperating with any congressional investigation on this at all.
Well, that's true. We have learned through congressional hearings that roughly 2,000 weapons, AK-47s and 50 caliber weapons, so we're talking enormous firepower, were purchased in Arizona, and only two of those 2,000 weapons had tracking devices. That is unprecedented and unconscionable for the U.S. Justice Department, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, to be engaged in a operation that put as many people in harm's way, and some that were actually murdered with these weapons that the United States supplied to the drug cartels. They all should have had tracking devices, or none of them should have been allowed to get into this situation. Over 140 innocent Mexicans' deaths have been associated with these weapons. And, of course, one of our own Border Patrol's agents has been associated, his death has been associated with this operation and these weapons. It's time for heads to roll. And had Eric Holder been more cooperative, perhaps those farther down the chain of command could have been identified as the people who came up with this horrible idea and executed it in such an incompetent manner. But because that did not happen, and Eric Holder himself is not being responsive to members of Congress, I believe it is incumbent upon him to resign.
Well, and Representative Darrell Issa has said in some of his press information that there is at least one memo indicating that Holder knew about this operation early on, even though he's denied knowing about it.
That is the case, that Chairman Issa does have a memo that does indicate that Mr. Holder knew about this earlier than he has already said he knew about it in front of a congressional committee. All that information accumulated, I felt that it was time for me to join a number of my colleagues and request his resignation. There is enough information now that we have gathered and that others have gathered, like your report affiliate down on the border, to now ask for his resignation.
Now, Cynthia, in the event that he continues to resist this, and of course we're seeing the president defend him on this, what action then can Congress take to forcibly remove him from this?
Well, there will be more and more pressure, I believe, over the months to come if Eric Holder chooses either not to resign or not to cooperate. Now, if he should choose to cooperate with congressional investigations, then I believe he would be appropriately retained in office, unless, of course, the investigation subsequently proves that, in fact, he did know about this operation and did not stop it when it was illegal. But the other option, if he refuses to cooperate, is that just more and more members of Congress will call for his resignation, creating such a groundswell that he is just by the very gravity of the situation, that he becomes such a distraction for the president that he just has to resign. You know, Eric Holder is the nation's top law enforcement officer. And this is a situation where the law was completely abrogated to and risked and in fact may have caused the deaths of innocent Mexicans and at least one American. The Mexicans thought they were under a civil war. Those weapons were so big, and they hit the communities in northern Mexico so quickly and so hard that they thought there was a civil war breaking out. And in fact, it was the United States that allowed those weapons to infiltrate those borders and be used to kill innocent people. What on earth was the ATF thinking? How could Eric Holder not have stopped this had he known?
There's also been some comments from other members of Congress on these committees, Cynthia, that indicate this could go even higher up the chain than Eric Holder all the way to the White House.
Well, if that is the case, all the more reason for Darrell Issa and other members of Congress and committees in Congress to continue to dig, to continue to call for information, and to continue to not let go of this thing.
One of the other issues that's coming more and more and more to the surface again is the super committee and what they really have not accomplished more than what they have accomplished. And I think maybe the last time you were on, or time before, we had quite a conversation because that was when they had first been appointed. What's the latest on that, and what's your stance on where this is right now, Cynthia?
Well, as you know, that group was created as part of the Budget Control Act, the increase in the debt ceiling. And that was Senator Harry Reid's idea as part of a deal to raise the debt ceiling so we would not default on this nation's debts. So even though John Boehner felt that that was a bad idea, we had to get on with fulfilling our nation's obligations to our creditors. And so he agreed to it. There are 12 members, 6 House, 6 Senate, 6 Republicans, 6 Democrats. They've been working tremendously hard since August. They continue to work. They're required to report out a work product by November 23rd. Congress will be voting on that work product before December 23rd. Now, they have been very quiet, even with members of Congress, about where they're trying to head with this. But I will tell you a couple things. The Republican members have come up with plans. The Democrat members have come up with no plans. The Republican plans that have been prepared include about a trillion in cuts and about a quarter of a billion in fee increases, mostly on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac transactions and some other fee increases.
What about tax increases?
Well, to my knowledge, there are no tax increases in the proposals that the Republicans have put forward, but there are fee increases.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those are two different things.
And, of course, with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. This issue keeps surfacing in that they still are insolvent, and then, of course, they've continued to give their CEOs these atrocious bonuses and all of that.
Yeah, it's absolutely appalling.
And so it's only appropriate that their fees be increased on what they're doing to help them be more self-sufficient.
Well, I do believe that that's true. And I also believe that we're not going to get out of this mess if we don't look at both sides of the equation. Now, I'm not saying we should raise taxes. I'm saying we have to find revenue in places that will augment our ability to get out of this mess. We're borrowing 42 cents of every dollar we spend.
42 cents of every dollar we spend.
Wow. We're borrowing, exactly. And our entitlement programs, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, cost about 66 cents of every dollar we spend. So if we did away with all of the rest of government and only had entitlement programs, we would still have to borrow money. That's why we can't get out of this mess unless we reform Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Those are the drivers of our debt. So in order to get the Democrats to put some even meager, modest reforms of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security on the table, the Republicans had to come up with some fee increase proposals. And as I understand it, the bulk of them are based on Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac fees, fee increases.
You have also come out in support of the balanced budget bill that's in Congress now, and Obama has come out flatly opposing that, saying that this would be terrible because this would not allow the American economy to continue to recover.
Yeah, that's so bogus. What how utterly transparent of him. And you will see other Democrats say things like that. Not all, by the way, not all Democrats, but some of the more big federal government Democrats are going to say we can't have a balanced budget. And that's because they want this large, expansive federal government to whom the taxpayers are beholden. And I'm just appalled that a balanced budget amendment, a simple balanced budget amendment that simply requires this nation to do what 49 other states do is not acceptable. Over 75% of Americans want this. It is, Congress has made it perfectly clear that it cannot get its act together and balance its budget. It's only had about 6 years of balanced budgets in the last 100 or so. And, of course, today our national debt is over $15 trillion. Last week, our national debt surpassed the size of the entire U.S. economy, our entire GDP. That's, we can't let this go on.
So we have exceeded our collateral.
That's exactly right. My analogy is that now our mortgage is underwater.
You know, it's interesting. I had pleasure of having last week on with me an Italian member of Parliament, Marcello Pera, who had been in Parliament for some 10 years over there. And we were talking about the economy, the Italian economy, and the world economy, and how those things are tied together. And he made an interesting analogy that he finds it strange that after all these years, his party has been opposed to some of these entitlements that have now led Italy to the brink of financial disaster, to being bailed out by the IMF. And yet, while they've been working to extract themselves, here it seems that we in the United States are racing headlong into the same catastrophe.
That's correct. Here we have a European-style social democracy trying to become more American, and America trying to become more like a European-style social democracy. We need a new president ASAP.
Well, Cynthia, we need to take our bottom-of-the-hour break here, and we'll continue to keep you on the line and continue our discussion on the other side.
Great, Dave.
And we will open the phone lines as we get into the other side.
Hey, great party. Can I get a refill on... Wow, great kitchen.
Thanks. We just had it remodeled. I am so happy with it.
I've been thinking about redoing ours, but I just haven't had the time to talk to anybody.
Give Mike at Heritage Woods a call. They took care of everything for us and brought the Heritage Wood Design Studio to me.
He brought the studio to you?
Yeah. Heritage Woods now has this mobile design studio that Mike can bring right to your door. He showed me samples of medallion cabinets, Corian countertops, hardware, and even some samples of hardwood flooring.
I'm going to give Heritage Woods a call right now. What's their number?
It's 640-24.
Scratch and save in downtown Cheyenne. Stop by at any participating downtown store and ask for your boot buck and scratch the circle and save the amount on the coupon. It's fun to see how much you save and even more fun shopping in downtown Cheyenne. Boot bucks available at participating downtown stores, so start saving today. The Downtown Cheyenne Mercantile Association welcomes you to downtown Cheyenne, where shopping is fun all year long.
Hi, Cheyenne. This is Max Corey of Burns Insurance. Since 1971, Burns Insurance has been Cheyenne's right choice for your insurance protection. We are a Wyoming-owned and operated independent insurance agency offering quality commercial and personal insurance products. Our many insurance carriers enable our experienced agents to find the right product at the right price for all your insurance needs. So buy the policy and get the agent. Make Burns Insurance your right choice. Find quality insurance protection, name brand carriers, competitive rates, and friendly professional service at burnsia.com.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe talking about the Big Tire Event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the Big Tire Event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Click on the banner at now for information on a special $100 tire rebate offer. That's $100.
All right, well, there it is. It's a Big Tire Event, and everything about it is
big. Stop by your participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
It's going to happen and you can't stop it. No, I'm not talking about unwanted friend requests on the internet. I'm talking about cold and flu season, so be prepared to fight back. Walmart has low prices every day on everything you need to stay healthy, like Theraflu 6 count for $4.97, Mucinex and Lysol disinfectant spray. So stock up now, because cold and flu season will be here before you know it. As far as those unwanted friend requests, just tell them you have the flu and you don't want to get germs all over your keyboard. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Uses direct to keep out of reach of children. Prices subject to change.
Feeling stuck in your day?
Then let State Farm help you get to a better state with State Farm Music. Playing only music that lifts you up. State Farm Music gets you to a better state, one song at a time. Open your browser and click on the banner now to begin your musical journey. State Farm Music is brought to you by State Farm. For auto, home, life, and banking, get to a better state. Find an agent or get a quote at statefarm.com.
America needs jobs, and housing creates them. For every two homes sold, one job is created. That's 2.5 million American jobs created or maintained in an average year of home sales. Each home purchased pumps nearly $60,000 into the economy, and home ownership accounts for over $2 trillion of our GDP. The National Association of Realtors supports responsible housing finance reform. We believe that home ownership plays a pivotal role in growing our economy. Learn more at houselogic.com/jobs. All figures based on NAR research.
Analysis to make your well water behave. Free installation with purchase. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. President Obama was out of town and no one was hurt, but we're learning a bullet hit a window at the White House.
The Secret Service says ballistic glass stopped a bullet. The discovery follows gunfire heard near the White House Friday night. Police recovered a car and an AK-47 and issued an arrest warrant for 21-year-old Oscar Ortega Hernandez.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpern in Washington. Ortega Hernandez has not been captured. The president has been traveling since Friday. Right now, he's in Australia. The Occupy Wall Street movement may be reaching a boiling point. Protesters and police confronting one another in Seattle. Officers fired pepper spray to try and disperse the crowd. Six people were arrested. There was a shooting yesterday near the Occupy demonstration at the University of California, Berkeley. Police say they're not sure if it had anything to do with the protests. Fox News. We report. You decide.
This information break on AM 650 KGAB brought to you by Eric Arnbrecht with the Principal Financial Group. The Principal Financial Group, helping individuals, families, and businesses with their financial goals since 1879. Contact Eric at 634-2212. He'll give you an edge.
With Cheyenne's your first news, first headlines, I'm Doug Randall. Greenhouse Data Center in Cheyenne will expand its operations. The announcement came Tuesday at the With your first news, first headlines, I'm Doug Randall. Greenhouse Data Center in Cheyenne will expand its operations. The announcement came Tuesday at the Governor's Wyoming Business Forum. Greenhouse Data President Sean Mills says the company, founded in 2007, has outgrown its current 10,000 square foot facility. And after looking at locations in other states, company executives decided to stay and expand in Wyoming.
Wyoming, in fact, is a fantastic place to operate a data center. It's cold for us, it's windy, and there's a ton of broadband. All three of those things are critically important to our data center and our data center success.
Mills says the $35 million expansion will include a 25,000 square foot building within walking distance of their existing facility. He says the expansion should bring in between 20 and 25 new high tech jobs. He says the building will be engineered for maximum energy efficiency.
We will have no mechanical cooling inside of our data center facility. Historically, mechanical cooling takes one half of the entire electricity load to cool down those servers. And we will have none. We will operate at a, in an industry term, a PUE of 1.16.
He says that means savings they can pass on to their customers. You're up to date. I'm Doug Randall.
Cheyenne's number one news talk radio, AM 650 KGAB and KGAB.com. Cheyenne's number one news talk radio, AM 650 KGAB and KGAB.com.
Welcome to Wonders of Wyoming, brought to you by Prevent Child Abuse Wyoming. Here is a real-life legend and the first white man to set foot in Wyoming. We'll tell you more right after this.
There are so many action-adventure movies out for the summer months. Big machines and strong men duking it out on the big screen. Images that can be quite scary to the little ones. But not nearly as scary as a violent home life. Children deserve to be happy and safe and not wondering where their next hug is coming from.
You can help make a difference in a child's life. If you know of a child that is being abused or would like more information, please go to PCAWY.org.
He had wanderlust in his blood. Born in Virginia, he would always wonder what the new territories out west had in store. So at age 33, he joined up with the Lewis and Clark expedition in 1803 and went off to see the Pacific Ocean. When the expedition returned home, he would stop at Fort Lisa, Montana, and stay. In the fall of 1807, he decided to go south into totally uncharted territory. And John Coulter became the first white man to ever lay eyes on the spectacular new frontier that is now Wyoming. Coulter was the first to explore the Bighorn Basin and the Yellowstone Park and Grand Teton regions. He became familiar with the Crow Indians and often explored with Crow guides. In 1808, Coulter was captured by Blackfeet and forced to literally run for his life. He would outrun the entire tribe, weaponless and naked, 7 miles to safety. A living legend among mountain men and explorers, his name has lived on with Wyoming landmarks like Coulter Canyon, Coulter Pass, Coulter Peak, and Coulter Bay. Oh, and of course, Coulter's Hell in Yellowstone Park. John Coulter, a legendary Wyoming wonder.
Don't miss the sale of the century. Terrell Doyle Chevrolet, the home of the $1,000 test drive, is giving away a brand new 2012 Chevrolet Sonic to celebrate Chevrolet's 100th birthday. Since 1911, we've seen the USA in our Chevrolets. And Terrell Doyle is offering oil changes for $19.11 during the whole month of November. And remember, you could win this brand new 2012 Chevrolet Sonic in November by simply test driving a new Chevrolet. It's all happening now at Terrell Doyle Chevrolet, your tri-state dealership.
Wind Power, and let them show you how to spend less on your utility bill and more on your business.
AM 650 KGAB.
Cheyenne's weather.
Good morning. Well, it's going to be a chilly start to the day, and temperatures are going to really struggle. Some cold air came in late yesterday and last night behind a cold front. Last night, that cold front did produce a few flurries and light snow showers, but mainly across central and northern. For Cheyenne, what you're going to notice today will be some pretty chilly temperatures under partly cloudy skies, and we're still going to have a little bit of wind. Now, the wind isn't going to be as strong today, but it's going to be gusty enough to make for some very chilly wind chills, so bundle up. Highs will struggle to get to 30 today with wind chills, especially this morning down into the single digits and low teens. We'll get warmer Thursday and Friday, but here's the catch. Winds pick up, especially getting strong on Thursday. Overnight Friday, Saturday morning, a quick-moving cold front will bring a chance of snow showers.
Do you know Ariat makes the best-selling boots? Boots that are downright comfortable. Sure, they look great, but they feel great too. And do you know where you can find the largest selection of Ariat boots? Boot Barn, of course. Come on into Boot Barn and try on a pair of comfortable Ariat boots. You won't want to take them off. Boot Barn also has the largest selection of Western apparel, like Ariat shirts and jeans. And when you spend just $119.99 on any regular priced Ariat boots, you'll take home a free Ariat gear bag. That's a $35 value free from your friends at Boot Barn while supplies last. Come on in and get comfortable. A pair of comfortable Ariat boots, that is, at Boot Barn. Visit one of our three convenient locations, including the Wrangler Historic location in downtown Cheyenne. Boot Barn, where you'll find the largest selection, best service, and lowest prices guaranteed.
It'll be partly cloudy today and chilly in the capital city. Temperatures struggling a bit today. High only of about 30 degrees. Brisk northwest winds giving us cold wind chills today. Low to mid-20s tonight. Winds picking up late. Then windy but warmer on Thursday with highs near 50 degrees. Meteorologist Don Day on KGAB.
27 degrees now at KGAB under clear skies as we come back in the morning zone with our special guest on the phone with us live from her office in Washington, D.C., U.S. Representative Cynthia Lummis. Cynthia, thanks for holding on with us through the break.
You bet. Hey, I want to talk about Solyndra because that thing is also blowing up here.
You bet.
Solyndra emails revealed yesterday that show the Energy Department asked Solyndra to push an announcement of the company's financial troubles back to after the midterm elections last year. In other words,
I saw that. Yes.
Yeah, Solyndra was going to announce in late October of last year that they were going to lay people off. and they received additional Energy Department loans as long as the company would delay the announcement of layoffs until after November 3rd of last year, which was Election Day. So we have a blatantly political administration trying to cover up some of its bad loans and the consequences of its bad loans.
Indeed.
At the same time that they're accusing Republicans of partisanship. Well, Dave, we all know both parties are partisan, but part of the design of partisan politics is that companies like Solyndra, deals between Solyndra and the Energy Department will only be uncovered if you have a two-party system where the parties help keep each other honest. And so that's why it's important that the Government Reform Committee here in the House and its Senate counterpart, Daryl Issa, and his committee go after the Solyndras, go after the Fast and Furious operations, because for whatever reason, both parties, when they get into political office back here with that massive executive power, can abuse it. And these are two instances where the Obama administration has abused it. You know, President Obama could keep himself out of trouble if he would just do what he said he was going to do when he ran. He said he was going to have the most open, transparent government that this country had ever seen. And nothing could be further from the truth.
Let's take a listener call. Good morning. You are on with Representative Cynthia Lomas.
Yes, good morning to both of you, and I apologize for this being my second call, but I found that information. And Ms. Lummis, I would like for you to comment on this. This came from the Americans for Prosperity, and it says, last week, a group of 100 U.S. representatives sent a letter to the so-called Super Committee urging the hand-picked group of 12 legislatures to consider, and this is in quotes, all options, mandatory and discretionary spending and revenues in order to reach the committee's goal of $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction over the next 10 years. I would like for you to comment on that, because that says to me that that isn't just going to be an increase on fees to Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, which in the long run is also that's an increase to consumers. So I'd like for you to comment on that, please, and thank you so much for being on the program.
Absolutely. Now, let me tell you what the letter actually says. We say, to succeed, all options for mandatory and discretionary spending and revenues must be on the table. In addition, we know from other bipartisan frameworks that a target of some $4 trillion in deficit reduction is necessary to stabilize our debt as a share of the economy and assure America's fiscal well-being. Our point is this. We need to go bigger than $1.2 trillion. We need a plan that has at least $4 trillion over 10 years in spending cuts and, yes, revenue in order to balance this budget. We are spending $1.3 trillion more every year than we take in, every year. And I have been working tirelessly against my own party's leadership to try to get them to cut more spending. I have been punished back here, along with other Republican members of the Appropriations Committee who are trying to cut more spending than the leadership wants done. This is a battle on every front. And in my opinion, in order to avert an absolute catastrophe for this country, we are going to have to go big. We are going to have cuts that exceed $4 trillion. And in order to get that from the Democrats, who do not want to reform entitlement programs, we have to put more revenue on the table. And quite frankly, when we're borrowing more money every year than the entire discretionary part of government costs, in other words, entitlement programs, are eating every dime and more of the money that Americans pay, we have to have some revenue on the table. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about by revenue. And you're darn right, it's going to affect everybody. It's true. There's no way to avoid having this affect everybody because we cannot simply cut our way out of this unless we reform entitlement programs and unless we enact the Paul Ryan budget. Now, here's the deal. The House passed the Paul Ryan budget. I am a huge, huge supporter of the Paul Ryan budget. The Senate killed it. The Paul Ryan budget is the only plan ever passed that will eliminate the debt, the deficit, and do it without raising taxes. And he does it by putting spending on a glide path going down that doesn't balance until the year 2050. Now, people say to me, that's too long. And I say, that's the only plan out there that will get us to eliminate our debt and our deficit without raising taxes and still preserve a modicum of our nation's social safety net. So I would enact the Paul Ryan budget lock, stock, and barrel if it were up to me alone. The problem is that passed the House with nothing but Republican votes, went to the Senate and was killed. And we are trying to implement as much of that plan as we can. But there again, I'm even fighting against some of my own Republican leadership to demand greater spending cuts than we will get because there are too many big spending Republicans still in Congress and an absolutely wild-eyed bunch of Democrats in Congress for whom spending is the reason they came here. This culture change is dramatic. It is going to be painful. Everybody is going to feel it if we do it right. If we say to anybody in this country, we can fix this problem and you're not going to feel it, we're lying. That is a bald-faced lie. Don't believe anybody if they tell you that. We all need to cowboy up, everybody in Congress and everybody in this country, because people who are on Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid now can be protected, but people my age that are within a decade of being on those programs are going to have to participate in saving us from an economic crisis. And those who are younger than me are going to have to sacrifice even more. So for those of us who are in the second century of our lives, to say that we're going to get out of this scot-free, we're just going to borrow money and keep spending and foist all of the problems on people who are in the first half century of their lives is just ethically, morally wrong.
Cynthia, there's been a lot of discussion in the media recently, and it's generated some interest on the part of my listeners on this issue of quote-unquote insider trading based on privileged information by members of Congress who are able to take that information and then, you know, make a killing in the stock market. Of course, the issue being is that's illegal for anybody else to do except for members of Congress. When you talk about the Ethics Committee and some of the things that are going on, what's your position on this?
You know, this is the first I've heard about it, what you're telling me. Now, was this what was on 60 Minutes had been hyping some expose that they were going to do over the weekend? Is this mm-hmm. what it was?
Right. It's on the on this issue. It's legal, apparently, for members of Congress to take inside information they have based on bills that have been passed or are in the works to be passed that affect a business's stock, that and to invest accordingly in that stock.
Oh my gosh!
And make a killing. Apparently, it's being done by a number of people already in Congress. Nancy Pelosi being one of them, at least according to this information.
Okay. Well, what you're telling me is my first introduction to this subject, because I did not see or hear about the 60 Minutes expose. That should be, if it is legal, that should be illegal. It's illegal for everyone else. Congress should be held to the same standards as everyone else. In fact, Congress should be held to a higher standard than everyone else, not a lower standard. So I will talk to my friends who are on the House Ethics Committee and see what they're doing about it.
I had a question on our Facebook wanting to know, have you ever engaged in this? Obviously, if you didn't know about it, I'd say probably the answer to that is no. But
yeah,
I'll ask the question.
Yeah, the answer to that is no. I have not personally changed any of my positions in stocks while I've been in Congress. Mm-hmm. I'm just holding tight, mostly because they're so far underwater. I'm just waiting for them to peek their little heads back into the profitable column.
Like most of us, yeah.
Exactly. Boy, I've taken a hit and a half.
All right, let's take another call. You're on with Representative Cynthia Lemus. Go ahead. You're on the air. Apparently they have dropped off and didn't tell us. One of the other things there's been a lot of interest in is your announcement, Cynthia, that you are supporting Mitt Romney in his bid for presidential election, and in fact will represent his campaign here in Wyoming. Tell us about that.
Well, Dave, I waited until I had met all of the candidates, and I vetted their plans. I read Herman Cain's 999 plan. I met Herman Cain. I visited with Tim Pawlenty. Of course, I serve with Ron Paul and Michelle Bachmann. I have lunch with Ron Paul in his office with a very small group, you know, maybe four or five, almost every Thursday before he started his presidential campaign. Michelle Bachmann and I are friends. These are all people that are highly qualified to be president of the United States, and I just admire the dickens out of them for running. It is a tremendous physically and mentally taxing gauntlet, but right now we're so in need of a change of administrations and a new president that I wanted to carefully vet the plans, the economic plans of the candidates. Through that vetting process, I came to the conclusion that considering where the United States is right now, this desperate situation, a crisis that we can see a mile away, that we're continuing to propel ourselves towards, the person who is the most, I believe, realistic about that crisis and best able to help avert it is Mitt Romney. I have read his plan. I read his recent speech where he mapped out how he's going to reduce the size and scope of the federal government, which has to go part and parcel with saving this economic calamity from happening. I believe he is right on target, very realistic about how he is, as chief executive, going to go in and reduce the size and scope of the federal government. And, Dave, I'm telling you, we got to have a president who is willing to take that on. The Congress is not in a position, because of the tentacles of federal regulations and the money that can be stuffed into couches in federal agencies, not figuratively speaking, it's very difficult for for Congress to find it and take it away from federal agencies. It's going to take a president that is committed to reducing the size and scope of the federal government, and I'm absolutely convinced that Mitt Romney is committed to reducing the size and scope of the federal government. Furthermore, Mitt will repeal Obamacare with the help of Congress. And I know people say, oh my gosh, well, Romneycare was the template for Obamacare. I support governors who are trying to use their position as incubators of ideas in their states to try things out in their states and find out if they would work on a larger scale or not. And quite frankly, Mitt Romney has said Romneycare will not work on a national scale. So that's the other reason that I believe that Mitt Romney will do the right thing for the country, and he's the right person at the right time.
Well, Cynthia, we are unfortunately out of time. I've got some callers that would have liked to got on, but we're out of time. I want to thank you for taking this hour to be with us and to bring us up to speed on what's happening in Washington, and we always appreciate your efforts to keep our listeners informed.
My pleasure, Dave. I look forward to seeing you face-to-face soon.
Indeed, and we always enjoy having you, whether it's on the phone or here in the studio. May you and yours have a very, very happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, and you as well.
God bless.
Thank you, Dave.